mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, well, you know, baptism. Right there in the first three verses of Genesis is baptism. Water, word, and spirit. That's what makes baptism. So you might rightly say that light and life are the result of the whole world being baptized in a way. And you'd be correct in that. And then you would also immediately understand what Jesus meant when he said to Nicodemus that one must be born from above by water and by spirit in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. One must be born spiritually, from above. One must become a new creation by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Washed with water and the Word. Where water and Word and Spirit are, there order, light, life, and creation are also. And it's so easy to overlook this rather critical point in the first chapter of Genesis, isn't it? Usually we pick it up and we're so busy with the rest of the 6 days of creation that we miss the fact that everything, the heavens and the earth, were created in that instant called the beginning. But light and life came through water, word, and spirit. This day, this first Sunday after the Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. That day when our Lord Jesus Christ stood before his cousin John in the Jordan River and submitted himself to John's baptism. It's a bit of a chronological leap. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' birth. Last Sunday, his name and his circumcision. Last Wednesday, we rejoiced in the visit of the Magi when he was just a toddler. If this were a movie, this would be the place where writing appears at the bottom of the screen, fades to black, and says, 30 years later. Jesus stands in the Jordan River, elbow to elbow with repentant sinners, to be baptized by John. And initially, John wanted nothing to do with it. This seemed to stand against everything that John had been preaching up till now. John had just said that the coming one was so great and so mighty that even he was not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal straps. He said, "I baptize you with water, but you haven't seen anything yet. The coming one, he is coming with another baptism, far greater than mine. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And then comes the coming one, Jesus, standing before John and bowing his sinless head, the very same as the penitent seeking to be washed in this baptism of forgiveness. Jesus stands there in the water next to tax collectors, prostitutes, rejects, all manner of sinners, as though he is one of them. And John is taken back initially. Mark doesn't record the confusion, but Matthew does. John says, "No, Jesus, you've got it backwards here. I need to be baptized by you. But you are coming to me?" That's upside down, inside out. It's totally backwards. That's not how a respectable Messiah is supposed to behave. It's not what's supposed to happen. So just get out of the water, go back on dry land before anybody notices, and we'll do this the right way. Because if everybody sees what you're doing here, well, they're going to get the wrong ideas. And that's no way to start a whole religious movement, you getting baptized. But Jesus answered John with a very telling sentence that explains exactly what was going on in this baptism. "Let it be so for now, John. Let it be. Let go of any notions that you might have of who I am or how you think I'm supposed to work. It is fitting, proper, the right thing to do for us to fulfill all righteousness. This is how it goes down, John. I get baptized just like a sinner. I become sin for you. For all of these people in the water with me. For the whole world. This is how righteousness is fulfilled." And John consented. The sinless Son of God is baptized as a sinner in order to fulfill all righteousness. In a world that lives in denial, among a people who insist that they have no sin, this Jesus comes to be treated like a sinner. It's been that way all along. From his birth and circumcision, to his presentation in the temple when he was 40 days old, to here in the waters of the Jordan River. Jesus is walking our walk, the way of the penitent, the way of the sinner in need of forgiveness. This is how he fulfills all righteousness. The sinless one becomes our sin, so that in him, baptized into his death, we might become the righteousness of God. Now, before we go to our baptism, let's just stay for a moment in the Jordan with Jesus. There, at that moment, a new creation dawns. Water, the Word incarnate, the Spirit descending. The chaos of sin is ordered by forgiveness. The Spirit hovers over the water. The Son, who is the Word in the flesh, is immersed into the deep of death itself. The heavens are torn wide open, and the Father voices his approval. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The beloved Son is the beloved servant of Isaiah. the one who suffers for the sins of the people. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. That servant, God's Son, who came not to be served, but to serve, to lay down his life, and to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus' baptism lays a cross upon him. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. His baptism as a sinner among sinners takes him to Calvary's cross, where he dies bearing the sin of the whole world in his very own body. For this purpose, he is anointed with the Spirit, visibly, tangibly, and with the approval of the Father who sent him. This is the Father's delight, that his sinless Son should stand in solidarity with sinners in order to save them. When he dies, the curtain in the temple is ripped open in that very same way that the heavens were at his baptism. It is finished, accomplished. All righteousness is fulfilled there on the cross. Baptism brings the cross and all that the cross will bear upon him. There is no way for you, for me, to save ourselves. Nor is there any hope that we could improve ourselves beyond, really, a superficial rehab. Not for salvation. Our righteousness cannot fulfill all righteousness. In order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness under the law must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And rest assured, it does not. You must be perfect, complete, and holy in every way. Holy even as your Father in heaven is holy and perfect. Not simply on the outside, but also on the inside. Not just in action, but also in word and in deed. For this Christ came. For this he was baptized. For this he died and he rose. He was baptized into our sin so that we might be baptized into his righteousness. He was baptized to become the sinner in this world, so that you might be baptized a saint in his kingdom. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. By baptism. Don't overlook that. It's always so easy to overlook the water. Baptism is the active agent here. And anyone who says that baptism is really only some symbolic religious ritual, they really need to run that by this verse. By baptism, we were joined to Jesus in his death, buried with him. Sin is drowned in forgiveness. And you, through water and word and spirit, are born anew from above, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in the newness of life. A new life, a new creation, a new you in Jesus. Paul goes on to say that our old self, the old Adam, was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. We have been legally declared dead to sin. Your baptism is the death certificate of the old Adam. As far as God is concerned, you are legally dead to sin, but alive to him in Christ. Now, mind you, this is a forensic act. It is an act of God's word, a judgment laid upon you. Your old Adam, he still kicks. He is alive. And yet now he is to be drowned daily. To die daily. Mortified. Drowned in forgiveness. And a new man. A new you. This person who is you in Christ is to daily rise new before God in the righteousness that Christ has won and given to you. God has declared this soul by his word. And when God says it, it is so. Just as when God says, "Let there be light," light there is. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to live baptismally, to live as one of Christ's baptized. You must reckon yourself, think of yourself daily and constantly as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Yes, you do sin. That's true. You are still that old Adam in the flesh. But as St. Paul reminds us, that's not you doing it, but sin that dwells in you. Drown it in baptism. When your sins bother you and oppress you and cause you to doubt, say along with Luther, "Denok! Nevertheless, I am baptized." The water of creation's deep, the water of Jesus' baptism, the water of your baptism. It's so easy to overlook, to diminish, to make something less of it than it really is. But where water and word and spirit get together, watch out. Great things happen. The heavens are torn open. The Father approves. The Spirit descends. Light and life are spoken. A new creation has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. And how do you know that you are in it? And how do you know that you are in Christ? And how do you know that you have the Spirit and the Father's approval? How do you know that heaven is open to you? You are baptized into Christ. Amen. And now may that peace of God which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.